Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Attention BetMGM customers, have a friend that loves sports betting as much as you do, question mark? Here's a chance for both of you to earn $100 bonus when they sign up through BetMGM's Refer a Friend program. Just sign up BetMGM account and click Refer a Friend program. Send a friend a message inviting them to register a new account at the same time as you and BetMGM. Once your friend signs up, makes a deposit, they'll receive a $100 bonus, and once your friend places a bet with their bonus, the wager is settled, you'll receive a $100 bonus as well. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. You do have to be 21 years of age or older to wager. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Award is issued in non-withdrawable bonus bets, and those bonus bets do expire after 30 days. If you have a gambling problem, 1-800 Gambler. Promotion not available in Massachusetts, Michigan, Mississippi, I should say, and Nevada. We don't get any of those promotions. We never have. It's okay. I'm used to it. Been reading those reads for years and years, Kelly, and at the end it always says not available in Nevada. That's like the thing. I'm glad at least another couple states have joined us in the pain and the suffering.
That's right.
So we got some news, right, when we were on break.
Yeah, breaking news out of Bucks camp. Baker Mayfield has been named your starting quarterback for
the season. What did we say on this very program yesterday? That, like, even though Todd Bowles came out and said, no, we did not hold him out because he's the starter. That's not what we did. It was just, it worked out that way. No, he was the starter, and so, of course, he's going to be the starter. If you've been following the NFL, though, you know it is one of the projected to be one of the worst teams in the NFL. They are projected last in that division as well, and they are one of the longest shots to win the Super Bowl, too. So it is, whether it's Baker Mayfield, whether it's Kyle Trask, whoever it's going to be, likely to be a pretty bad team somewhere along the way. Anyway, so the AFC East, and the AFC East is a pretty interesting division in my personal opinion, Kelly. I told you whenever we were doing our power rankings, I think this Dolphins team is pretty legit. I think that this Dolphins team, certainly when you kind of look at everything that is around, one of the deals I think that people don't really take into account very well in all of this is just how good Tua played and has played.
Yeah,
and
yes. That seemingly gets forgotten too easily. I don't get it.
Like when he's out on the field, I don't really get it. You know, I mean, you take a look, they were 9-8 last year, and Tua, they start out 3-0, right? They start out 3-0, and then Tua gets a concussion, they lose 3 games in a row. So Tua's not out there, gets a concussion, lose 3 games in a row. He comes back in week 7, they rattle off 5 in a row when he's playing, right? Now, they do go on a 3-game skid, but I don't think it's anything you're going to hang your head about. Those losses were to the 49ers, they were to the Chargers, and they were to the Bills, right? I mean, those are all 3 really good teams, and so you do lose those games. Then if you remember, Tua is sitting there playing on Christmas Day against the Packers, and scores 20-10. There's about 2.5 minutes left in the first half. At this point, again, they're up 10 points. At this point, Tua is 9 of 12 for 229 yards in that game. He gets hit. For whatever reason, me, you, your blind dog, your grandmother, everyone saw that he got concussed yet again. And for whatever reason, no one on the sidelines saw that he got concussed and trotted him back out there. The rest of the game, he throws for 81 yards and 3 interceptions. And oh, by the way, we find out after the game, yeah, he actually was concussed and he doesn't play another game the rest of the season. So when he was actually out on the field, this team was really, really good. And they won a bunch of games and Tua played really well, just not getting the credit that he deserved at all. Now you bring in Vic Fangio to be the defensive coordinator for this squad as well. I think that this is something that's kind of gone under the radar. Now, no matter what you think about Vic Fangio as a head coach or not, there are some of these guys that just don't really cut it as head coaches, but as coordinators, they are just absolutely fantastic. And Vic Fangio, you can ask anybody in the NFL circles, is known as one of the defensive masterminds of the last couple of decades. I mean, Vic Fangio and defense just go synonymous in the NFL. So I think this Dolphins team is pretty good. They trade for Jalen Ramsey. Of course, he's dealing with some injuries and stuff right now. But, like, you bring in some other guys. David Long, a linebacker, he's going to start. He's a really, really good player. You bring in Braxton Berrios to kind of run the slot stuff for you. Eli Apple, see if there's anything left in the tank with him. You bring in Mike White as a backup, so you're not throwing out Teddy Two Gloves whenever you're going out there. Skylar Thompson, so you do have him as well. I don't know, Kelly. Maybe I'm a little too high on this team because I guess there is still always injury risk, but there's injury risk with any player, with any quarterback in the NFL. So I can't go into a season going, yeah, but he's going to get concussed again. I just have to assume, you have to assume health and yeah, maybe weigh it just a little bit that there is a history there for Tua. But man, I really do like what they put on paper here.
Yeah, no, me too. This is, you know, we were talking about it during the break after we did our power rankings and kind of batting around, hey, there's probably a couple teams that, you know, maybe we would have switched around a little bit near the tail end. But the Dolphins, I didn't have them in my top 10, but they're squarely number 11 for me, mm-hmm. if not belonging in that top 10. Agree with everything you just said. I think the Jalen Ramsey injury is it's a big disappointment because I think he – I know there were some people saying they didn't think it was that big of an addition for him. I really do think that would have been a big addition for the Dolphins. We'll see when he comes back. But I love what this team does offensively. It's just the defense is going to have to pick things up. And like you said, how big of a difference can Vic Fangio make? How big of a difference can some of these additions make? I think the ceiling's really high for this team, though. Just, you know, stuck in a very, very tough division, right?
Yeah, I mean, you look at the Bills. Of course, the Bills in the division. Sean McDermott is going to actually call plays on the defensive side of the ball. If you guys didn't follow this in the offseason, Leslie Frazier is going to take the season off. They're saying he's going to come back next year, whatever. But Sean McDermott chose to not replace him with someone temporary, and Sean McDermott is going to take on, you know, calling defensive plays. How does that affect that, you know, whenever he's having to kind of split duties there? They enter the season with the second toughest schedule in all of the league. Now, they did get a couple of big pickups to go along with some of their losses. Like, you lose Tremaine Edmonds, you lose Roger Saffold, you lose, you know, Devin Singletary, Isaiah McKenzie, Jameson Crowder. There were some losses, but they did get Connor McGovern, one of the best right tackles in the NFL. You bring in Leonard Floyd as well as an edge rusher. Those are really, really good pickups for this Bills team. And, you know, you kind of look, Kelly, the real question that I have, though, is the offensive line for the Bills. And I understand you have a mobile quarterback in Josh Allen, but you're heading into this with, at least Pro Football Focus thinks, that the 22nd best offensive line as we head into the season. And for a team that relies so heavily on early down success, they were the second highest in early down success rate last year in the NFL. If Josh Allen is not being able to run the offense properly and not being able to get those yards on first and second down, I mean, can they be as efficient moving forward? I just think that there are some questions. I mentioned it a little bit earlier. Yeah. The wide receiver two position wasn't necessarily addressed where I thought that could have been something they could have upgraded to. And so, I don't know, man. I think they're going to be really good. You have Josh Allen. You're going to be really good. But I don't know if they're like, I don't know if the ceiling is Super Bowl, actually, for the Bills.
Yeah, I think they take maybe a slight step back this year. I think we've maybe seen the extent of what this current kind of Bills roster can do. It's just, it's so reliant on Josh Allen, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, we're talking about the Dolphins before and Tua and everybody having these injury concerns with Tua before. Okay, I get it. He's got the track record. There's a track record there with Josh Allen too, and there's almost no quarterback in the NFL that's mm-hmm. more exposed to hits than Josh Allen because of how much they utilize him in the running game. So, and then you talk about a porous offensive line, this guy's going to be taking off even more probably. So yeah. It's a lot of the reasons like that. I don't know if
I'm not willing to bet the win total. I think 10.5 is like dead on, right? Yeah, like yep. I think it is 10-7, 11-6, like that to me, I'm not willing to pull the trigger on that. I think the number is dead on right there. And that's kind of how I see the outcome of this team.
Yeah. So. Do you have any bets in this division? Cause I think this division is a little tough and confusing for me. This is where one I stayed away from. If anything, I'd be looking towards Dolphins bets, but I didn't get on board with it.
No, it's actually I think it might be one of the only ones where I don't have a single bet with anything, be it a player prop, be it anything like any of that stuff. Right. I kind of want to fade the Jets, but I can't quite get there. Look, 7-10 last season, they bring in Nathaniel Hackett as offensive coordinator. You say what you want to about him being a head coach at Denver, but he's had success with Aaron Rodgers before on the offensive side of the ball, so I'm not going to discredit what you get there. Of course, they signed Dalvin Cook as well. That can only help. Adrian Amos at safety, Chuck Clark at safety, Quentin Jefferson and Al Woods on the defensive line. So, I mean, listen, there are a lot of guys that they brought in. Whatever's left of Mecole Hardman, you know, you got him. Of course, the two guys that played with Aaron in Green Bay and Alan Lazard and Randall Cobb, those guys are all there. So you lose Sheldon Rankins, you lose George Fant, that's not great. But, I mean, all in all, it was a lot more additions than subtractions for this team. Kelly, the only thing that I think is definitely going to be sticky here in this, and this is something I guess you could look at from not only just a total perspective with this team, but also from a player perspective and all that. And we'll get to these markets a little bit later in the show. But if you take a look, in 2020, offensive coordinator for the Packers was Nathaniel Hackett. He's now the offensive coordinator for the Jets. They were the dead last in pace situation neutral in the NFL. 2021, they were 31st in situation neutral pace. Nathaniel Hackett leaves. Even last year, the Packers were 28th in situation neutral pace. Aaron Rodgers just doesn't run a fast out. He's a very deliberate quarterback. He gets up to the line. He reads the defenses. He's calling audibles. He's doing all that stuff. So you got to be pretty efficient if you're going to like hit some of these targets when it comes to, you know, numbers from a passing perspective, even a receiving perspective for some of the receivers and things like that. Because if you are running far fewer plays per game than your opponent, it's just far fewer opportunities as well for things like that to happen. So again, just something for us to keep in mind as we continue to handicap hour number two of A Numbers Game when we come back.
Numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of A Numbers Game here on VSiN. It is Matt Brown in for Gil Alexander. Kelly Bidlin behind the glass as usual. We were running through some AFC East thoughts. We'll continue with those here in just a second. Kelly, one of the things that we were praising Washington and all the stuff that we saw last night from this team, and then it comes through that there will be an MRI today on one of their very key players, Terry McLaurin, wide receiver, kind of under the radar, sneaky, really good because he's had pretty garbage quarterback play and continues to produce at a very high level. He sprained his toe and going to have an MRI today to see the extent of that. But man, these toe injuries in wide receivers never really turn out all that great. It seems like they linger forever. So hoping that maybe he has the mildest of toe sprains here. Because like I said, man, this guy's really produced at a high level despite having really, really subpar quarterback play.
Yeah, I think there's I think there's some excitement to be had out there for guys like Jahan Dotson and what he can do this year. But man, a lot of that comes with having Terry McLaurin on the other side.
Yes.
It is.
Your attention, the attention that they're allowed to pay to you is certainly divided. And now if he's not out there, then things get a little dicey.
Yeah, I'm definitely something to monitor because that could be big.
And if you didn't catch us first hour, no surprise. I think everyone believed that to be the case anyway. But Baker Mayfield was named the starting quarterback for the Bucs, as we mentioned, one of the worst teams in the NFL projected as we head into the season. Longest odds to win that division, really, really long odds to win the Super Bowl as well. Kelly, we were in a really good discussion actually about the AFC East, so I kind of want to continue on with all that, and I don't want to cut short the Jets either because it was a team that did make the top 10 in your power ratings, didn't in mine. And I said if there's any team in this division that maybe I was looking to fade, it might be them, and maybe it's just because of the hype that's coming with all of this. Now, one thing that cannot be denied about this team is this defense is really, really good and probably it might even have a chance to be better this year than it was last year.
Yeah.
The offense is certainly going to be better. And I think from a bull case scenario with this team, I mean, you could look and say the offense scored the fourth fewest points in all of the NFL last year, while the defense allowed the fourth fewest points in all the NFL, and they still lost 10 games, right? I mean, so it's kind of like, okay, if this defense continues on, which, again, there shouldn't be any reason that they wouldn't at least be a top 10 unit, if not a top 5 unit, and certainly could be battling for the best defense in all of the NFL when it's all said and done. If that's the case, you have to think instant upgrade Aaron Rodgers, instant upgrade he brings in his own personal offensive coordinator, and instant upgrade because he brings along a couple of familiar faces with him at wide receiver in Lazard, in Cobb, and then, of course, year two of Garrett Wilson. So there is upside here for this Jets team. I'm not discrediting that at all, Kelly. I think it's just, for me, the division they play, and I think it's more that I really like the Bills still, what they bring to the table, and I'm just higher on the Dolphins, I think, than most, which would naturally, someone has to be down, like someone has to come down in all of that if I'm going to be so high on the Dolphins, and that would be the Jets.
Though. Yeah, and that's, I think when, as far as me being pretty high on the Jets this year, really, it really comes down to what you brought up. Look, the offense, whatever, for a second, right? You're still talking about a top defense in the league to me, and you're going to bring that back this year, and I fully expect them to be a top 5 defense in the league. Now the question is, okay, we know you've upgraded on offense. How big of an upgrade is that, right? How far can Aaron Rodgers and these new pieces take you? And that's the bigger question mark to me, Matt, but like we know it's a massive upgrade from what they were doing last year. So, yes, I expect this team to be extremely competitive. I did lie last segment, though. I didn't say I had a bet in this division because of, like you, I am, I've been high on the Bills the past couple of years. Do I think that they are maybe this year going to take a slight step back? Yeah, but that's very slight. I think it's going to be very slight. As long as Josh Allen is healthy, that team's going to be right there. Dolphins, I think, have potential to have a great year. I think they have a potential to win this division, absolutely. And I think this Jets team is really solid. So what bet did that lead me to? Under on the Patriots win total, who I think it's one of those – I think it's the disparity in the conferences, Matt, where if the Patriots were in the NFC – okay, you might be talking about a solid playoff team this year, but you're dealing with this kind of division, the kind of schedule that they're handed, partially because of the division that they're in. I think the Patriots are going to have a brutal, brutal season.
Yeah, it's a deal where you look, Patriots were 8-9 last year, and it was kind of a fairly mediocre performance from Mac Jones. I mean, like, I think he got a little bit of a raw deal. Everyone was, like, pointing and just saying that it was definitely him, the reason why they were losing all these games. He had no talent around him, too. Right? I mean, there's another thing that goes along with all that. I mean, it's very hard to play quarterback if you don't have anyone with any talent to throw to. So there was that. I mean, and listen, I'm not a Mac Jones guy. I'm not a Patriots guy at all. But I think, to be fair, we have to say there's very little talent around the dude. And so now you bring in Juju Smith-Schuster. We're going to find out, is there anything left in the tank, or was this just a product of playing with Patrick Mahomes, right? I mean, was he resurrected because he's playing with what could end up being the greatest quarterback of all time? And so like that is the question that'll be answered at least a little bit this year with all that. They also bring in Mike Gesicki. That is a pretty interesting signing as well, because if you listen to what some of these beat writers are saying, they're kind of lining Gesicki up as a slot guy. So it would be more of a really big kind of mismatch dude there in the slot. And that's kind of how they're tackling, putting him out there. They bring in Riley Reiff, who obviously is a very, very good tackle. So, I mean, they did bring in some dudes that can certainly help out this team. And of course they drafted Christian Gonzalez in the first round as well. That's on the defensive side of the ball, so that's an upgrade too. Offensive coordinator was a very big hot topic last year amongst, you know, what was going on there in New England. They have cleared all of that up. Bill O'Brien comes in as offensive coordinator, fresh off of his Nick Saban rehabilitation program that he got down there in Alabama, which, again, all you have to do is you go serve 2 years. You go serve 2 years as coordinator under Nick Saban. Your sins are washed clean, and you can go get a new job anywhere in the NFL, and that's Bill O'Brien. So he's going to be the offensive coordinator there for this Patriots team, which you have to assume is just an upgrade anyway, because whatever was going on with Matt Patricia last year was just a disaster with all that. That all being said, everything that you said also applies to me. Do I think the team's going to be terrible? I don't think they're going to be terrible. Mm-hmm. But when you're in a division that I think so highly of the top two teams, I think the Jets are going to be perfectly fine. And certainly with that defense, they're going to be in every game, right? Like they're not going to be – Aaron Rodgers is not going to be looking up at too many double-digit deficits, right? I mean, like it's just not going to happen. And so by process of elimination – one of these teams has to be looked at as kind of like by far the most inferior team. And that to me has to be the Patriots. And again, it's not, I think they're going to be absolutely terrible. It's just, you play six games against three teams that I have a lot of respect for.
Yeah. And we're going to talk two divisions today. Well, if we get to the AFC North, but there's kind of a similar case in both divisions where it's like you said, I don't know that I think the Patriots are going to be terrible. I think they probably got a little bit better from a year ago, but that division is just, it's brutal. It is going to be so tough to really ask them to do all that much this season.
Yeah. And you look at this schedule, right? This is one of those things where I would not bet a win total on the Patriots until about week five. And then maybe we look from there, because they start out Eagles, Dolphins, Jets, Cowboys. There is a world that exists, Kelly, where they come out 0-4. Yep. And like you're staring down then that game in week five of the Saints. And this win total has come down at least a full game, if not two full games. It does lighten up. From there, though, you go Saints, Raiders. There is a game against Bills and Dolphins there, but then you get Commanders, Colts, and then you come out of the bite of the Giants. Like it does at least lighten up a little bit from there. I would not be betting this win total before the first four games of the year, because I think more times than not, we're going to be looking at an 0-4 team, and you're going to be getting a better number anyway on this team. And hey, after you've watched those first four games, Maybe you're not bullish on this team anyway to bet the over. Like, maybe you've like thought better of yourself and you're not going to be wanting to bet the over on this win total as it is anyway. So something I would certainly kind of pump the brakes on. And if you do still feel really good about them after the four games, again, they head into the Saints, Raiders, games with Commanders and Colts in there as well. So maybe that could be a situation to jump in line.
Yeah, if you're looking, key word there, if you're looking at the over. If you like the under, get in now.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, like I already have.
Yes. If you like the under, for sure. Because, look, the schedule's just – it lightens up a little bit there when we were talking about it. But then even on the back end, it goes Chargers, Steelers, Chiefs. And for me, again, you and I are both think this Chargers team, at least on paper, could be really, really good. I think the Steelers are going to be better than most people think. I actually kind of dig what they've got going on there. Are the Broncos any good? We'll find out as Russ Wilson cooked. We'll figure that out. But then it goes Bills, Jets. I mean, it's just a monster of a schedule to try to overcome as well. That's the problem.
Yep, it is. Yeah, toughest in the NFL by win total, right?
So let's look at like most passing yards for the AFC East, which is pretty interesting because you take a look and I already brought up a couple of different things. And I think that Josh Allen being your favorite at -130 makes a lot of sense. Aaron Rodgers +250, Tua at +350, and Mac Jones at 16-1. Kelly, for me, I am all over Tua in this market. I understand, again, you're taking up a bunch of risk, and I get all of that, but he has a 1A, 1B type scenario from a wide receiver standpoint. We already talked about the fact that Aaron Rodgers operates at a snail pace and has done so for the last three seasons. It would be, in my opinion, crazy to think that it's going to change. Oh, by the way, you just signed Dalvin Cook as it is too, so you're going to like not utilize him? You're going to not use him in the run game? Of course you are. So I think Mac Jones is obviously off the table here when it comes to all that. And then so basically a head-to-head between Josh Allen and Tua Tagovailoa, and I think that the Bills are likely to run the ball a little bit more than the Dolphins are. And I honestly think that Tua, whenever you come down to it, if he can stay healthy, I think he would be the favorite in this market anyway. I think this is baked in that you're assuming that Tua is going to miss several games throughout the course of this season. If that's true, then so be it. But I would try. I'd take the +350 on Tua as opposed to laying $1.30 on Josh Allen.
Yeah, something you would bet if it was available to us. Because I actually thought that price was kind of was pretty attractive.
It would be something I think it would be interesting putting a little steak dinner money on something like that. Like nothing huge, because again, there is an inherent risk with how quick are they going to be to pull the trigger right on Tua? That's the other thing, right? Like, is even if he doesn't have a concussion, does he take a big hit and then he just moves on, right? I mean, that's the other thing that we kind of have to deal with all this with Tua Tagovailoa. They take the good with the bad. When we come back, let's continue rolling on here in the NFL. Look at a new division and maybe some of these other division-specific markets as well. Number game here on a Tuesday.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Throughout the NFL preseason, the VSiN experts are busy evaluating every team and give you the betting edge. Our updated NFL betting guides due out later this month, and it's going to help you get ahead of the upcoming NFL season. We're going to get picks from every single on-air host, team-specific preseason analysis, how to use the betting splits page, and football contest strategies. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today for as low as $19 and reserve your copy online, or take advantage of our football season special and get access to everything we do through the Super Bowl for $199. American, you can sign up today over at VSiN.com/subscribe. I can tell you how to use the betting splits page. You go in, you take it for entertainment purposes only, and then you move on, Kelly. That's how you use it.
There you go.
Yes, that's how you use the betting splits page. Maybe it's a tiebreaker for you or something somewhere along the way. Coming through, Justin Thomas has entered the Fortinet Championship. It's the first fall event, and it's 2 weeks prior to the Ryder Cup. So there's now the rumor mill is beginning. Does that mean he thinks he's going to get the captain's pick and he's warming up, you know, by going and playing the Fortinet? But he has entered the Fortinet Championship.
Wait. Wouldn't you think that's the – I would think the other way. I would think I haven't been told anything on what my future is with the Ryder Cup, so I better sign up for this tournament.
I don't know. The rumor mill has begun where it's like, hey, that's 2 weeks before the Ryder Cup. Maybe he's trying to get in, you know, some competitive golf before he goes and plays in the Ryder Cup, you know, because he didn't make it. So it's, you know, he didn't play as much as everyone else who would.
You're not playing golf too good right now.
Yeah. And he and fewer tournaments for him as well than the guys that actually are on the team, because he wasn't good enough to make the playoffs. So
Hoba going back for the three-peat. That field's getting stacked, actually.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, this is we talked about minimally yesterday on the show, but it was basically all they talked about on Golf Channel yesterday. Like, I mean, I keep either Tennis Channel or Golf Channel on at all times, because typically there's a golf tournament or a tennis tournament going on at all times, so you can just kind of like always have sports going on. But that is all they talked about. I mean, seriously, all they talked about yesterday was Ryder Cup. Who deserves it? Who doesn't? First in, first out. Justin Thomas. Lucas Glover on the side. Like Lucas Glover kind of on the side and whatever. A lot of the guys, Kelly, did come to the conclusion that you and I did, which was that fine season, awesome comeback, great little stretch, but we can't reward Lucas Glover for like a really good 3 weeks and put him on the Ryder Cup team. I mean, he was literally like 160th or something in points before and whatever. So a lot of people were like, listen, this is great. Awesome story. Feel good story. The dude learned how to putt and like he won a couple of tournaments and that's amazing, but not necessarily good enough to the complete body of work, right? Was not good enough to make it. I will say this, everyone's list, nobody had Sam Burns making it. So like Sam Burns, like in anyone that was putting out their version of their captain's picks, Sam Burns on nobody's list.
Interesting.
Old Sammy played his way right off the team over the last couple of weeks.
I think Henley's interesting too. I don't know what you do with him, because I mean he's a guy, when we talk about some of those guys like Burns and Keegan and stuff, and Henley's been, you know, just as good if not better than those guys pretty consistently all year.
So one of the things that they were talking about, and this is actually something that we didn't bring up yesterday, is course fit,
right.
in the captain's picks as well. Whereas, so they are going to put the course together in the fashion that they think best suits their guys, right? And they were talking about how, yeah, they do have a bomber, certainly, in Rory. But outside of that, a lot of these like younger dudes that are going to have to play on the team or whatever, and a lot of even the captain's picks and stuff, aren't typically your bombers, right? They're the guys that are more kind of like straight and in the fairway, and then they play second shot golf and all that. And so
Aaron Rye.
Yeah, and so they were talking about that the course layout is going to not be necessarily what the Americans, you know, really strive at. And so they were saying, hey, do you put a guy like Russell Henley? Do you put whatever, who's like short and straight, but he's straight, and that's what, you know, the course is likely to be set up to where it favors something like that. Cause you know, you can't, not that he's in consideration, but you can't put like a Bryson on there, because it's like, they're going to set the course up where you cannot bomb and gouge it. Right. And so it's like putting him on there would just be a disaster. And so it's all interesting. Right. I mean, I had not even looked into kind of like what the course conditions might be or what the course looks like or something, but they were bringing up that like, it's likely to be tight and you cannot miss, you know, all over the place, kind of how they were looking at it.
Yeah, it would be interesting to see how they set up the team, because I think that definitely comes into play with how that course is set up.
So let's continue on here. We wanted to take a look at the AFC North. And Kelly, I you know, for me, I've been talking about this Bengals team for quite a long time. I think that whenever you look at this would be the year for me whenever I was talking about kind of, you know when teams are supposed to peak, and this seems like this would be it. Now, the injury to Joe Burrow is certainly concerning, and how much is this going to linger? They're plus 150-ish right now in the division. The Ravens coming in second, kind of in that 230-ish, 240-ish, 250-ish range. Browns a little under 4-1, and then the Steelers just a little over 4-1, kind of 4.5-1 in there. I really like Cincinnati. If I knew Joe Burrow was completely healthy, they might even be my Super Bowl pick this year, even over the Eagles, but I can't get there with that question mark looming. And so all I can say right now is I still love this team. At some point in the season, he's going to be healthy. At that point, I think they're going to be favorites in just about every single game that they step out on the field. And you look at the skill position side of things, you look at the defensive side of things, there's really not a lot that you can hate about this squad other than the fact that, hey, maybe Joe Burrow is going to be dealing with this lingering calf injury.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think they're a team that, look, I think they've got as good of a chance to win a Super Bowl this year as probably anybody. But this is not another one. Like we talked about the AFC East. I think this division's tough. I think this is going to be tough.
Famously, we said last year that the AFC West is the division of death, right? And then it turned out not to be, and it was not. I will claim, I'm planting the flag this year. This is the division of death, and if this just ends up not being the division of death, then I'm never naming another division the division of death ever again. But listen, all four of these teams, in my opinion, are like playoff quality teams. Yeah. If they play even to like their 80th percentile of outcomes, right? I mean, like that's how much I think of all of these teams. And so, yes, I think that this is the division of death.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, look, I think the Ravens are going to be better. I think we know what the Bengals are. I think the Ravens are going to be better. I think the Browns are going to be better. I think the Browns could be a whole lot better if we see a Deshaun Watson that we saw a couple years ago, plus that defense steps up. I think that team could be very good. And then, like we were talking about with the Patriots, and I think the Steelers are even ahead of where the Patriots are at. If you were talking to this team being in the NFC, you're talking a playoff team. I just don't. This is another team I've bet a season win total under on, simply because of in large part due to the division that they're in.
You look here, the Bengals bring in Orlando Brown to play left tackle. Maybe one of the bigger signings in the offseason, because again, the one thing, if you wanted to knock, was Joe Burrow did get a revamped offensive line last year, but it took him like 12 games to kind of figure things out and get things going. And for that first bulk of the season, Joe Burrow was still kind of looking like he was running all over the place and trying to make things happen. And you bring in Orlando Brown now, should solidify this offensive line a whole lot more. You look what they did. You look what the Browns, you mentioned Deshaun Watson. I mean, this is a guy that a few years ago, and what you think of the guy off the field and all that personal, we're talking about sports and sports betting and what happens on the field. So we have to kind of like keep it to all of that. And he was in the same breath. If we'd have said 3 years ago, hey, Kelly, give me your top five quarterbacks in the NFL. Deshaun Watson is going to be on your list of top five quarterbacks in the NFL. And yes, I get it. Out of sight, out of mind. And when he did come back, he looked incredibly rusty last year. But to remember, as part of that suspension, right, he was not even allowed at the facility, much less being able to practice with the team and things like that. So you got to remember that this was a dude that, when we talk about like rust, it wasn't just rust. It was rust in like getting to even know the team and the teammates and all the things that were going on, because he wasn't even allowed in the facility, much less being able to practice with the team whenever he was on suspension. And so you look and you have to assume a full off season with the guys, a full off season of being in the locker room and being in the facility and learning the ins and outs of this offense and what his players are good at. You get one of the best offensive lines in the league. You get the best, arguably, one of the best running backs, if not the best running back. You have skilled position players. I think Elijah Moore was kind of an under the radar trade that they made, which if he's happy there and likes the role that he's in, I think could be a big contributor. I kind of like the Browns this year. If you did download the NFL guide, the original version, I know we have an updated version that's coming, but the original version, Kelly, I had the Browns as a playoff team, and I'm still sitting with the Browns as a playoff team.
Yeah, I like it. I think they're going to be right in that mix of making it in as one of the wild card teams.
Yeah, there is the chance that Deshaun Watson is no longer any good. I will put that out there, there is a world in which we live that sitting out for 2 years, the game passed him by or whatever, and he wasn't working at all from the mental standpoint and completely lost it. There's a world that exists that's the case. Typically not, though. These guys that are super, super gifted athletes, they do tend to figure it out. And so I'm going to look at that kind of case there as opposed to the other. But maybe a team that you end up fading somewhere along the way because Deshaun Watson just can't get things figured out. When we come back, let's talk some Major League Baseball and what the day looks like on Mark Borcher's card.